Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, as many as can and will. I'm reading two or three verses here from Genesis 35. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Let's pray. And give your attention to God's Word for these next few minutes. I'm preaching on the subject, going back to Bethel. Going back to Bethel. Perhaps there's no man who had more ups and downs than Jacob. And he certainly lived up to his name Jacob, which means schemer, supplanter, deceiver, heel catcher. He had Esau and by the heel before they were ever born. He lived up to his name Jacob. But thank God that's not the end of the story. He also lived up to his new name Israel, Prince with God. I just want you to notice two things with me from this passage, if you would. First of all, the divine command. And that divine command to Jacob in verse number 1 is to arise and to go up to Bethel. Now, Jacob had been away for years. He had been way up north in Padan Aram, where he got his wife and family. Had been gone 20 years, some say 30 years, I'm not sure. But he had been gone from family, from his dad, and he'd been gone from the land of Canaan and way up in Padan Aram for a long time, and God comes to him and says to him, It's time for you to go back home. Time for you to go back to Bethel. Back home to God. Back home to Canaan land and back home to the house of God, which is what the word Bethel means. Beth means house and El means God. The house of God, Bethel. So the divine command is arise and go up to Bethel. Now when God said Bethel to Jacob here, I'm sure that there was a cluster of precious memories that flooded his mind and his soul. Because it was at Bethel that God appeared to him those years ago on that very first night that he had fled from home. You remember that he had taken away his brother's blessing and had previously bought his birthright, and his brother Esau hates him and has said plainly, I'm going to kill him. And so Jacob in fear and distress flees from home and flees hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And when God said to him, I want you to go to Bethel, he remembers that it was on that first night, that very first night of his loneliness and his fear, that God had come to him while he was sleeping there with a pillar of stone, and he was dreaming a wonderful dream. So Bethel was a very sacred and precious spot to this man, Jacob. It was a summons to go back to Bethel. And he remembered that lonely night when he laid down there all alone to sleep, and he began to dream. And who came to him? Who came to him but God himself to speak to him and to give him comfort and assurance on that that time of great uncertainty? I'm glad God comes to us in the times of our great need. Well, he's at Bethel. And he's a young fella, and he's dreaming, and lo and behold, he has a dream of angels, a dream, and he sees in his dream angels ascending and descending, going up a ladder and coming down a ladder that reached all the way up to heaven. We still sometimes use the reference, Jacob's ladder. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 talked about angels ascending and descending and used that ladder as a type of himself, because Jesus is the way to heaven. Amen. I'm not sure why those angels were going up and coming down. Somebody said that was first shift done and second shift coming down. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I just know this man has a vision of angels at Bethel. When God said, go back to Bethel, then he thought of his dream and he thought of these angels, and it was God saying to him on that night, I want you to know, Jacob, that you're going to be away from familiar family and friends and surroundings, but I want you to know that I'm sending my angels to attend your every step, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bring you back one day. What a precious place was Bethel to Jacob. I'm going to take the time to turn to chapter 28 where the event actually takes place and read what God promised to Jacob on that night. He said to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham. This is what God said to Jacob that night in his vision, his dream. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There's just one man now, Jacob. And God said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Don't you worry about Esau killing you. I'm going to make a nation out of you. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So those are some of God's promises to Jacob on that night. And Jacob wakes up and he says, this is a dreadful place. God's been in this place. This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. I'm going to call this place Bethel, house of God. And he heads on up to Padan Aram with fresh courage and hope in his soul, because God has just said to him, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bring you back here one day. I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to bless everybody in the whole world because of you. And your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sands of the sea, the dust of the earth, the stars in the midnight sky. And before he left Bethel, he set up a pillar of stone there and anointed it with oil as an altar and a memorial. So that's what Bethel meant to Jacob. It was the place of the angelic vision and the angel ladder. It was the place where God spoke to him and made promises to him. But it was more than that. It was more than that. It was the place of Jacob's vows. Because before he left Bethel that morning, he made God some promises. I want you to hear what he promised God. I'm turning back to 28. I could paraphrase it, but I'd rather you hear it. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That sums it all up. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give the tenth unto thee. How about that? Jacob was paying tithes before the law of Moses was ever written. I need an amen right there. These people that say they don't believe in tithe, and they say as under the law. You better read your Bible just one more time. Yeah. Well, that was his vows. Lord, if you'll be with me and you take care of me Lord, you'll be my God. I'll be your servant. That's his vows. Not just a careless a promise, but a vow. Did you ever vow a vow unto God? That's serious business. That's binding. Well, that's his vows. So when God said to him, arise and go up to Bethel, these are some of the thoughts, I'm sure, that flooded his mind. The latter, God's promises, his vows. Well, secondly, not only do we see the divine command and summons, but we see also the return. Thank God Jacob actually went back home. He went back to Bethel like some of you need to do. He went back to Bethel. I can imagine as he left out of Padan Aram, and now he's married and got a whole bunch of kids, and he came out with nobody, and he's coming back with a whole troop. And he's afraid of meeting Esau, but God takes care of all that. Nobody gets hurt. No big fight. Nobody killed. And then he comes back to Bethel. I'm sure the surroundings began to be familiar to him, and he recognized the hillside and maybe an old tree there. There's an oak tree where he's going to bury some things here in just a minute. And he's got his all the whole family there, and he says to them, he says, this is Bethel, but there's something that he's got to do that's very important. And that is, he's got to put away some idols. You see, he's been away from the Canaan land, and he's been among heathen people here and yonder 500 miles away, and they've gathered up some idols even among his own family. And he says to them, God has said to me, go back to Bethel, but we've got to get ready. We got to prepare. We got to repent. We got to get rid of all these statues and these charms and these idols that we've gathered up. How in the world are we going to worship God when we get back to Bethel? If we've got things in our hearts that's not right, any passions or any pursuits or any pleasures that's stealing away from God, our love to Him. You see, in order to come back to Bethel and to worship God aright, we got to get rid of some things. We got to get rid of some things. He's been lax too long. I mean, read the previous chapter of My Soul. It's one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. And Jacob's had a lot of ups and downs, as I said. And God told him to go back to Canaan land in chapter 31, but he made a detour there and put drove down his stakes in Shechem for a while. I don't know why it is, but a lot of us, we're easily detoured, sidetracked. We know what we ought to do, but we won't do it. It's not that we don't know. We just lollygag around. That's what Jacob did. He lollygagged around. But he says now, he says, God has invited me back home, and I'm going back to Bethel, and I've been gone too long. But while I've been away so long, we've gathered up some idols, some images. They're mentioned twice. You noticed it, didn't you, when I read it? And so, thankfully, they all gathered them all up and brought them out from out of their tents and got them all together and dug a big hole and buried them under the tree and renounced them and put them away and buried them. And folks, that's what we got to do. Anything in our hearts and our lives, visible, invisible, no matter what it is that's standing between us and God, we got to get rid of it. You're not going to have revival with that bitter attitude, with that critical attitude, with anything in your heart that's stealing away your love and service and allegiance that you owe to Him. You got to bury it. You got to leave it behind. Thank God they left it all behind. Looks like they're just waiting on Jacob to step up and do what was right. And thank God he did and they did. I know you've not got any little statues made out of wood or stone or any little Buddhas. I'm sure you don't. But anything can be an idol. Your job can be an idol. Your family, your friends, your money, your hobbies, anything that's more important to you than your walk with God is sin. It's idolatry. It's idol worship. It's wrong. Amen. Sure it is. If it makes you cold and indifferent, then it's hurting you and it's an idol and it's wrong. Well, they reach Bethel at last, and Jacob begins to show them all what's happened, and he probably went right to the spot and said, "Family, gather around. This is where I laid down that night when I was running from my brother 20 years ago, and that's the stone right there where I laid my head." You see, mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, you need to take your kids and your whole family every now and then back to a place and say, "This is where it happened. This is where I laid down in my fear and my distress and an unknown future. And God gave me a vision and I saw them beautiful white angels. And God said He's going to take care of me and bring me back one day. And, well, hallelujah, here I am." He'd been 1,000 miles and through many dangers, toils, and snares. And he said, "I set up this pillar here of stone and poured oil on it. And I called this, it used to be called Luz, but I called it Bethel here. And I promised God that He would be my God." But he's showing them the place, the altar, the memorial. And I can't help but think he's doing a little bit of weeping as he looks out and sees how God's blessed him and protected him. He used to be one, now he's a troop. It's a time of rejoicing when you come back home and come back to God and come back to Bethel. And Bethel's always been associated in the Bible with, it was a center of worship there for a long time. And to the Christian, it means coming back to a fresh devotion, a first love. Many old songs, Bethel is calling and I must go. You see, as Christians, sometimes we get cold and we get careless. I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. Sometimes we just get just plumb out of sorts. And you hear God saying, "Come on back home. Come on back to that first love. Come on back where you promised me some things. Come on back and build you an altar. Come on back and just be reminded of how I saved you and what I've done for you. And Jacob, you have not lived up to your bargain, but I have lived up to mine. And we have not been faithful. And we have not a one of us have been what we ought to be. But God has been faithful." It was a time of rejoicing and remembrance for this man. Time of renewal. Thank God and refreshing. You say, "I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too rich. I'm too poor. I'm too this and I'm..." Let me tell you something. Jacob was 100 years old when he came back to Bethel. So quit saying you're too old. Amen. And you're not too young either. And all your excuses, you need to throw them to the wind and get totally right with God. And I'm sure he never regretted that he came home, because he went to Bethel there and then he went on down to Hebron and his daddy was still living. Isaac. And he probably never thought he'd see him again. He never regretted it. And God just kept on blessing him, and you know the rest of the story. Made a nation out of him. The nation of Israel, who wrote the Bible, who gave us Jesus, the greatest nation in the history of the world, all based upon this man Jacob right here. I'm glad he came back to the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. It was called then. You'll never be sorry. I want you to notice a thing or two. I want you to notice as I'm closing shortly. Again, the whole family came. I like that. It's just getting so rare anymore to see the whole family together serving God. But here they all came. They all came. back to Canaan and back to Bethel and back to God. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if when he had left Padan Aram and, thank God, stepped across the line there into Canaan land. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know how it feels when you're driving and you cross over the line and you're in North Carolina again? I think when he stepped out of Padan Aram and crossed over into Canaan land, hallelujah, he started singing, I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. That's your problem. You don't believe nothing. Brother, he is going back to meet God. He is going back to where God appeared to him. God blessed him. God promised him. Brother, it'll put a skip in your step. It'll put a song on your lips. Thank God if you'll go back to that first joy. Some of you are not excited anymore about being saved. Shame on you. You need to get back to Bethel, where God first appeared to you and promised you. Get excited again. God is so revived, and he came back to Bethel and God talked to him again. And God said to him the second time, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land, and our government maybe ought to read this, and the Muslims. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed, Jews, after thee will I give the land. God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Amen. So God spoke to him again. That's our simple little study today. What does that mean to you and to me? That means, brother and sister, sometimes we wander far away like Jacob did, and sometimes, maybe not today, but sometime along your journey, you're probably going to have to rise and go back to Bethel. Do you still pray like you used to? You still love God like you used to? Or you got over it? Let me ask you, if you still spend the Lord's Day like you used to, that'd be a good indicator, wouldn't it? You remember when you loved the Lord's Day, or have you done for God? How it thrilled your soul and you were saved and you couldn't wait to get to church? And you used to say, now the services are too long, but you used to say they're too short, remember? And by the way, services are not too long, your religion's too short. Yeah. When you're watching the ball game, you love it when they go into overtime. You love it. Well, if church goes into overtime, you ought to love it. Why in the world did you come anyway? Ain't you glad that Sunday you got saved? They wasn't all fiddling their thumbs and saying, I wish they'd hurry up with the envy. Aren't you glad they gave you time to get saved? Well, maybe you could return the favor for somebody. Maybe it's time to love like you used to love. And remember how you used to love that Bible? It came alive to you. You treated them pages like they were holy. You loved it. But anymore, you think you know it all. Lost your appetite. Maybe it's time to start living like you used to live. I don't know. I just know sometimes we need to come back. Remember when you made God some promises, the kids were sick or things are about to fall apart, and you said, God, if you'll work this out for me, I promise you I'll be the best Christian I can be. And God answered your prayer and brought you out of your distress, and you plumb forgot what you told him. I know you forgot it, but he hadn't forgot it. Those vows are still binding. Not only maybe are there some vows to be kept, maybe there's some idols to be buried. Maybe there's some altars to be built. When was the last time you built you an altar? You. Just you and God and nobody else in the whole universe. Just you and God. Might be some spider webs on your altar you need to get rid of. Jacob said, let's arise and go back to Bethel. You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how far away I've been. I don't have to know. You know. God knows. Put the past in the past. Give yourself afresh and anew to God today. Come back to God today. Delay no longer. You can. God will still meet you. God will never desert you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never deny you. He'll meet you at Bethel. God will meet you at Bethel today. This Jacob, he had no idea what was ahead of him. Oh, he had many more years to live. God was good to him. He had many more years. He's going to have a boy he really loved. A boy who was... he was going to favor so much he'd put on him a coat of many colors. He didn't know his brothers would hate him and pretend to have found his coat out. And he didn't know Joseph was going down into Egypt. He didn't know he'd end up in Egypt. And he'd live 17 years in Egypt as an old man. He didn't know the future. But he sure was glad that there was a day he came back home to God and got everything right. And then he could face the future. Brother, sister, if you're not totally right with God, you are not ready. You are not ready for what's ahead of you. The temptations, the trials, maybe the biggest challenges of your life are still ahead of you. You're going to need God one day. You can laugh today. Say no, the day's coming, you're going to need God. You're going to need all the help you can get. You're going to be glad there's a clear path between you and Him, and that His smile's on your life. You're going to be glad. Let's stand this morning, please.